Broadcasting from Manhattan Beach and the World Wide Web, you're listening to CHSR, HealthyLife.net.
As a service to our listeners, this program is for general information and entertainment purposes only. CHSRHealthyLife.net does not recommend, endorse, or object to the views, products, or topics expressed or discussed by show hosts or their guests. We suggest you always consult with your own personal, medical, financial, or legal advisor.
Welcome to Spiritual Common Sense. I'm Joffrey McClung, and this is HealthyLife.net. I hope everybody's having a lovely, joyful summer. Now, everyone who's listened to my show knows this is my favorite season of the year. I love the long days, the swimming weather, and just the good times that summer always brings. So I hope you all are enjoying a glorious summer. And if you're not, just listen to my inspiration segment. It should give you a bit of hope. I will be discussing an inspiration that I think we all need at different times in our lives. We can get stuck in the idea that nothing ever changes, especially in the dark times. And I think this inspiration will remind us all that everything changes. And as for the spiritual homework segment, we are going back to the homework on self-love. Now, last month, I used the time to talk about raising your resonance. But now we're back to self-love. And the component for self-love I will share this month is self-honesty. This can be a tough one, but if you really want to know about yourself, self-honesty is essential. In truth, self-honesty enabled me to find compassion for myself. And self-honesty also gave me permission to forgive myself. But first, we are going to be speaking with an author, Michelle. Michelle, say your last name.
Aloha. My name is Michelle Ibala Rosa Kuano.
Thank you very much.
Thanks for having me on.
She's also known as Phoenix Rose for her book. She wrote the book Walking in Aloha, 5 Steps to Living Your God's Potential Life. She was born and raised on the island of Oahu in Hawaii. She's a creative coach, an artist, and also works with the Department of Homeland Security. And in the fall, she'll be working on her associates in criminal justice. She has 4 children, and I believe 7 if she's had the 7th grandchild. And she and her husband enjoy traveling the world. Welcome, Michelle.
Aloha. Thank you for having me on.
Oh, I'm delighted to have you on. I've got tons of different questions, but let me start with the first question I ask everybody. Where were you born, and what did you dream of becoming when you grew up?
Well, I was born here on the island, Oahu, and I always wanted to travel the world and be a photographer for National Geographic. That was my dream.
Oh, how fantastic. So did you take a lot of photography as a kid?
Just hobby. I never did take anything professionally, but it was just fun for me to do.
Oh, how fantastic. All right, so you wanted to become a photographer for the National Geographic. I think that's fantastic. Okay, so tell me a little bit about your family. What were your parents, your siblings, and your grandparents like with you?
Well, I grew up not on the, you know, rich side of the street. So we had a hard time. My family had 6 kids. My grandparents also had 6 kids.
So okay.
Big families, not a lot of money. But, you know, the one thing that we did have was the love. We always had a tight-knit family. We just always knew that we could depend on each other. And so that was the wonderful thing that I grew up with.
Well, let me ask you, what impacted you greatly as a child, both negatively and as well as positively? I think it's important to know the good and the bad that happened to us.
Okay, well, So as I grew up, I had what is called fibrous dysplasia in my left femur. They did not know anything about it. I just kept breaking my leg.
So
they just thought, you know, okay, maybe I'm calcium deficient, you know, whatever it was. But it was more than that. I literally had to go through surgeries. I had a rod placed in my leg just so that the bone could sustain itself and I could walk on it.
How old were you when you had the bone?
I really did have a hard life growing up. But how old were you when you taught me how to overcome?
How old were you when you had the rod put in your leg?
Well, the first time I broke my leg was I was just in kindergarten. And so I think by the time I was 9 or 10 was the first time they realized that I had this fibrous dysplasia and put the rod in.
Oh my gosh, that's just horrific.
Pretty young.
Oh my Lord. So you were not on the rich side of the street, as you like to put it, but there was a lot of love. You had six siblings. I take it you all got along normally. Everything seemed kind of normal to you, I presume.
Yes, everything was good. You know, like I said, being the broken one of the family, you know, I was always kind of put to the side, like, no, you can't play. No, you can't do the things that other people did because of the injuries, right? So I think more so I was, like, babied. With my parents, but I think it kind of made it hard with my siblings because, you know, there's six of us, and then I'm the one kind of being sheltered. So,
and you can't play ball or run or play on the trees or whatnot. Were you a little bit angry about that as a kid, that you couldn't do what the other kids were always doing?
I was pretty angry about it. I would try to do things anyway. being that, you know, I mean, you see your siblings playing and you're like, and your cousins, and you're like, I just want to play, you know, I just want to do what they're doing. And it wouldn't be long before I was called in, like, what are you doing? You're going to get hurt.
Oh, how funny.
So I would have
Other than your leg and being baby because of your leg, your childhood was pretty typically normal. You had a lot of love. You had a lot of brothers and sisters. So you were not raised in an abusive situation as a child, correct?
No, not, you know, I think with the family, having six kids, things were strict, you know, but I wouldn't call it abusive. I mean, it's just strict.
No, there's a difference between being strict and being abusive towards somebody. I can tell you that from my own experience.
Right.
All right, so your parents were a bit strict, and that's all right. And then I want to kind of jump around a little bit. You're going back to do criminal justice. What do you do with can you tell us what you do with the Department of Homeland Security?
Well, right now with the Department of Homeland Security, I work at the airport. I'm TSA. So I'm the one that you come to when you come through the airport.
Okay.
And everything. Uh-huh.
So you check everybody out, make sure they have their right, you know, their right driver's license, their right ticket, and all that sort of thing. And now you're going to be getting your associate's in criminal justice. What propelled you to do that?
Well, after taking the course with Homeland Security through my job, I was told that we could do criminal justice. And I was like, well, what would that do for me? And so I looked it up. And as I've already written my book and I've gone through what I've gone through, I realized that with that associate, I would be able to become a victim's advocate. And I thought that just falls perfectly in line with everything that I'm doing. So it was just a blessing for it to turn out that way because I didn't know that the criminal justice program was part of what Homeland Security was offering at the time.
Well, synchronicity has a way of playing in our lives, and obviously the universe has your back and is watching out for you and got you on the right path, and now you're going to be an advocate. All right, that's okay. So, and then you got married. Let's talk a little bit about, well, being abused. When did this start?
Okay, so the abuse was a few, not a few years, maybe 10, 15 years ago. Okay, so I went through that, and I was living on the island at the time. And so that is why the book is actually written under Phoenix Rose, because my publisher asked, is the person still here? And I said, yes. And then they said, then it's safer not to put your name on the book, because if it's sitting out in public and he sees it and reads it, he will know that it's you. And they asked me to change things on the inside of the book. They said, go ahead and change things so that it's not, you know, something that he can tell that it's him, or change the name on the book. And I said, well, that wouldn't make sense because it's all the truth. So I cannot change what's inside to keep the truth, but I will change the name on the cover.
So that makes sense.
Phoenix says rising from the ashes, you know. And then
I think
Rose,
that's a beautiful name. Bubbly. And Rose is gorgeous too. Phoenix Rose. You rose from the ashes and bloomed. You blossomed.
Yes.
But I'm glad you stuck to wanting to tell the truth within the book. I think that's, in order to change people and help them grow and to realize they're not alone, you got to talk the truth. And if you had changed too much, it would have lost some of its authenticity. So I think you got to pat yourself on the back for standing up and saying, I'll change my name, but I won't change what's inside. Now, okay, so you were living with this person. Is that correct?
Correct. Mm-hmm.
And did the abuse start immediately, or was it pleasant and joyful, and then it started?
That's the sad thing, because it felt like a dream. I felt like this is perfect. I just came out of a divorce, and I was like, wow, this is absolutely a dream come true. This person is everything that I wanted, you know.
Right.
And realized that that was very short-lived, very short-lived. As soon as I was back on the island, living with him, things were different. And I started to question, like, what happened? What happened? Was it me? Was it something that I did? Of course.
Oh, no.
Like,
we all do that.
Yeah.
If I said something wrong, I did something wrong.
One thing that he did say, though, was it was me. And it was the way that I looked at people, or the way that I talk, or the way that I acted.
Mm-hmm.
It was me. And
they like to blame you.
Yes, exactly.
Oh, my gosh.
Yes.
Did it start out with just controlling you and then becoming abusive through language and physical, or did it just go straight from being wonderful to being physically abusive?
No, it went from being wonderful to those small little things of, oh, are you going to wear that?
Okay, controlling.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
Slowly, right? It was slowly. I would say it was more like that conditioning of making you think that what you are doing is wrong. So the conditioning, asking those questions, or like if I'm just sitting there and I'm just people watching, which is something that I normally would have done at any time of my life with
of course.
No one saying anything, you know, he would be like, oh, I saw you looking at that person. I'm like, what person? I was looking at everyone, right?
So he started with control, and then did he become abusive verbally after that? Did it escalate?
Yes, it started to become verbally abusive. He would take me on rides in the car where I couldn't get out. Of course, you're in the car. The verbal abuse would start.
Would begin.
And you had no way of escaping it. So
and did so you just sat in the car and took the I'll use the French word crapola from him.
Yes.
And he's verbally abusing you, and of course it's all your fault because you're making me do this. I love that one.
Right.
And then did it
right.
Be,
and there's no way for you to escape because the car is going down the road.
No, and you
or
can't,
whatever,
you,
right?
You don't want to jump out and break every bone in your body, especially your legs. But anyway,
right.
When did it become physical, and when, what caused it to become physical?
The physical part started, where it was things. He would break things.
Okay, so he'd break things around you.
Right. So flipping tables, breaking glass, you know. The big thing was when he threw a hematite necklace that I had at the glass door. And little did I know that that would shatter the entire sliding door, you know, and it scared me so bad. I was like, oh, my.
And well, they like to scare you. That's the truth. They want to frighten you. And
yeah.
I know the person who used to abuse me, her face would change. She'd look pleasant, and the next moment her face did not look like her, and she was full of rage and anger. So my heart just goes out to you. Was there anybody that you could tell about the abuse, even before it became physical, but just the controlling and the verbal? Was there anybody you could tell about that?
There really wasn't anyone that I could tell. There was people near me that he actually made feel like, I guess, like he was the greatest.
Yeah.
So whenever I did bring up the slightest bit of anything, they would be like, oh, but he's so good to you.
Oh, yeah.
You know,
oh, yeah.
And that would kind of shut me down.
You of
know,
course it did.
It was almost like they were saying, but maybe it's something, right? Like, oh, but he's so good to you. Were you mad? Did you?
Yeah, did you cause it?
You know?
Yeah. I know.
It was like,
What about your parents? You couldn't tell your parents?
Oh, my parents have been gone for a long time.
Okay.
Already. Yeah, so both my parents are gone.
I would have
loved
you,
to be able to, because I know that my dad would have had your back.
I'm sure they would have had your back. Especially your father, I'm sure, would have done some things about it. All right, so you survived the abuse, and you've written this lovely book. This book, which I will, is Walking in Aloha, 5 Steps to Living Your God Potential. You know, my sister used to work with abused women. She actually got them things like toothpaste and stuff when they would go to the shelter away from their abusive husbands. And people think that it's just so easy to get up and leave. What do you have to say about that little falsity?
Well, yeah, you know, people ask that a lot, like, why didn't you just leave? Why didn't you? Well, I believe that there's different reasons for everyone of why they stay. For me, there was other people living in the home, you know, and I was afraid that if I up and left, what would it do for them?
Would they be
out on the street also, right? You know, things like that. The roof over their head would be jeopardized because I left. And so I would be like quiet, not wanting to say anything.
And also, you had been conditioned by your abuser to take it. That's what they do.
Yeah.
They condition
mm-hmm.
you to take it and think, I can take this. I'm strong. I can take this. And you end up taking it, and before you know it, years have gone by. I'm not saying years for you, but in general. But I think people, for financial reasons, emotional reasons, just fear alone can keep you trapped because you can't move forward. You can't put a foot forward.
That is true, and he made sure he told me those things. He made sure that he would point them out, and he would say, where would you go? Or, you don't have the money, or I own your phone.
Well, what made you finally leave, Michelle? What got you to finally leave?
Okay, well, I went to the doctor, and I wasn't saying anything about the abuse or anything. but it was for, like, another thing. I think I had, like, a frozen shoulder or something at the time. And my doctor realized, like, something was going on. The first time he asked, you know, like, oh, do you want him to stay out in the waiting room? And I was like, oh, no, it's okay. He can come in. I didn't know that anything showed on my face or came out in my voice.
He caught it, though, didn't he?
Yes, he caught it. And the very next time I went in to visit with him, he said, no, you'll stay outside without even asking. You'll stay outside and wait. She'll be out in a moment. When we got back into the office, he just stopped and he goes, are you okay? And I was like, you know, and I knew I was safe to say, you know, like, because I was by myself. I knew he couldn't hear me. But inside I was like, how do I go back out there?
Okay, we're going to stop right here because I want to hear the rest of this story. We've got to go to commercial, Michelle, but I really want to hear what you said to the doctor. We'll be right back after this commercial.
MySpiritualCommonSense.com is Joffrey McClung's website, where you can find a plethora of information to help you put some common sense into your spiritual conversations. Not only will you find out more about Joffrey, but you can read her blog and watch her one-minute weekly videos highlighting tips on how to stay conscious and keep growing. You can even get a free affirmations booklet if you join Joffrey's mailing list. So remember to visit MySpiritualCommonSense.com. That's MySpiritualCommonSense.com.
Reach your health and fitness goals. Whether you want to lose weight, learn to dance, build muscle, or just live healthy, Beachbody gives you unlimited access to the nation's most popular fitness and weight loss solutions. Visit our advertiser page and click on Beachbody now.
Self-love is one of the most important love relationships you can have. We are all searching for more love in our life, and it really starts with you. Now there's a guide and workbook that gives you life-changing and powerful insights to help you through an enlightening self-discovery process to self-love, and you can get it on Amazon.com. The Heart of the Matter, a workbook and guide to finding your way back to self-love by Joffrey McClung. Get it today. The Heart of the Matter, a workbook and guide to finding your way back to self-love on Amazon.com.
If you're looking for unique items at affordable prices, then you should try Dream Product. From apparel to beauty, from shoes to therapeutic relief products, visit HealthyLife.net's advertiser page and click on Dream Products, and maybe your dreams might just come into reality.
If you want a master class on how loss can become your greatest teacher, then get the book How Learning to Say Goodbye Taught Me How to Live by Joffrey McClung. Following a period of loss through Joffrey's life, you'll discover how she overcame challenges to find the many gifts that helped her transcend to her authentic self. Get How Learning to Say Goodbye Taught Me How to Live at Amazon.com. Take Joffrey's lessons to help you overcome your grief and loss. How Learning to Say Goodbye Taught Me How to Live on Amazon.com.
No matter what is happening on the outside, to make a difference, work on the inside. You are part of the fabric of life. Have a positive impact on yourself and others. Take a break from the dark side. Listen to the positive side of podcasts. HRNradio.com.
Hi, this is Joffrey McClung on Spiritual Common Sense. We are talking with Michelle, who wrote the book Walking in Aloha, 5 Steps to Living Your God's Potential. She's just gone into the doctor's office. She's been abused by her husband. He asked her if she was all right. Go on, Michelle.
Well, you know, like I said, I didn't know if it came out in my voice or I know that there was no evidence of abuse on me, but he knew it. And after he asked me, are you okay? I was torn between lying and telling the truth, but his look and his genuine caring, I could tell,
kindness.
Like, he knew. And so I was like, no, I'm not. And he knew exactly what was happening. And it was so nice because I was nearly just about to break down right then and there. I was, and he just like held me because I felt like I was going to fall.
Yes.
And he said, it's okay. And so we sat and I told him everything. And that's when he got me connected with a psychologist. And I was afraid because I was like, what is a psychologist? What, you know, I'm not crazy, right?
No, no, they didn't do it for that reason.
Right.
So that,
I didn't
that doctor came into your life to really, to help you become free. Now I want to get to your book. I don't want to, I'm so proud that you dealt with this abusive situation the way you did. But what made you write this book, Aloha, Walking in Aloha?
Well, you know, I told my testimony to people, and I would share it with my church group, and every time I did, there would always be someone who said, you have to write this down, you have to write it out, because your story will help someone. And I was like, oh, no, no, not me. You know, not me. You know, that's great. I can just tell you guys, but there's no way that I could do this. And it went over and over, years passed. And a pastor was at our church, and again it happened, and again it happened, until I started feeling it eating away in me. And I was like, this is something I really need to do. And I had to pray, and I said, God, if you need me to do this, you need to help me, because I don't know how to write a book. I don't know where to start. I don't even know how to begin to put all this into place.
I think God heard you. The universe heard you. Angels, whoever you want to call them, they all heard you. Now, this book is basically a Christian book in a sense. There's a lot of Christian verses, biblical verses. Do you feel like someone who's not a Christian can get anything out of reading your book? Because I think they can, but what do you think?
I believe they can, and I've actually seen it already happen where people have picked up the book and they said, you know, this has helped me a lot. I'm not even a Christian. You know, they come out and say, I'm not even a Christian, and this has helped me a lot. The things that you wrote, the worksheets in the book. And I'm like, you know, that is all I wanted to do, was to help someone else.
Well,
if I can share my story, right?
Oh, you did quite beautifully. And I like the way you did the workbook section. But you talk about in the book learning to use your past instead of letting it use you. What do you mean by that a little bit?
Well, because, you know, we need to overcome our obstacles. And the things that we have gone through in our past sometimes is what will help us in the future, and not just help us, but help someone else. So taking those and turning your obstacles into stepping stones and using that instead of letting it use you. Because there's so many times when we can tend to, I've done it in the past before my healing, where you don't love yourself enough to use them. You don't even want to look at it, right? It's an ugly part of you that you're like, I don't even want to go there. But when you, excuse me, when you start to see that it can help someone else, and that everything that you've gone through is not just for you to have this horrible memory, but to take the lessons you learned through it and help someone else.
That I also think it teaches you when you look at your past. I had an author who said, never look at your past. I did not argue with her, but I disagreed with her wholeheartedly. I found by looking at my past, it brought up compassion for myself, forgiveness for myself, which I then were able to use towards other people, because I don't think you can offer anybody what you don't offer to yourself first. So I think looking at your past is vital. Now, you talk about in the book that you have 8 steps for recovery. Number 1, being identifying your crucial challenges. Number 2, making sense of your personal traumas. Number 3, what is? What do you mean by what is?
Oh, I'm so sorry about that.
Hello?
Hello. Hi.
Oh, hello.
Sorry about that.
Okay. Number three is what is. Number four is learning to live consciously. Explain a little bit about living consciously.
To live consciously is to just, you know, look at what's going on. Sometimes what I got caught up in is looking so much inside of yourself and dwelling. But if you're looked, if you see that there's something going on and you're stepping back into some dark place where you didn't like before, to call it out, to be aware of it, you know, and that's why acute awareness is the last A in Aloha. So I do take the five letters of Aloha and use that. So acute awareness is to be aware of those things and be conscious of it. I think that is very important that we do that for ourselves.
Oh, I think it's vital. I think it's, well, everybody has their own journey, but for me it's vital. Well, mm-hmm. What do you hope people who are being abused get out of your book? We've got about a minute left.
Oh, I just pray that what they can do is find it in themselves to know that there's more, that they can live their God potential life, the life that God created them to have, not the life that they've been told or that they made to feel like, oh, this is it. This is everything. This is how I'm supposed to live. Because it's not. It's not. We are made to live a higher, a better, you know, life.
A joyful life.
Yes, a joyful
and even,
life.
Even your dramas and your traumas and your abuse, they're there for a reason to help us grow so we can share more love. We have been speaking with a delightful human being, Michelle, say your last name.
Ivala Rosa Coano.
Who wrote the book, Walking in Aloha, 5 Steps to Living Your God Potential. Where can people follow you and get the book?
Well, the book is available all over Amazon, Barnes & Noble. To reach out to me, walkinginaloha@gmail.com.
Fantastic. Michelle, I wish you nothing but the best, and I bet you're going to write another book before you know it. And good luck with your criminal justice classes.
Thank you so much, Joffrey McClung.
You are more than welcome. This is Joffrey McClung on Spiritual Common Sense.
Self-love is one of the most important love relationships you can have. We are all searching for more love in our life, and it really starts with you. Now there's a guide and workbook that gives you life-changing and powerful insights to help you through an enlightening self-discovery process to self-love, and you can get it on Amazon.com. The Heart of the Matter, a workbook and guide to finding your way back to self-love by Joffrey McClung. Get it today. The Heart of the Matter, a workbook and guide to finding your way back to self-love on Amazon.com.
For the best in business class travel, count on Cheapo Air. Cheapo Air has the best price guarantee, 24/7 customer service, and easy booking online or by phone. To experience your hassle-free journey, start by going to HealthyLife.net's advertiser page and click on Cheapo Air.
If you want a master class on how laws can become your greatest teacher, then get the book How Learning to Say Goodbye Taught Me How to Live by Joffrey McClung. Following a period of loss through Joffrey's life, you'll discover how she overcame challenges to find the many gifts that helped her transcend to her authentic self. Get How Learning to Say Goodbye Taught Me How to Live at Amazon.com. Take Joffrey's lessons to help you overcome your grief and loss. How Learning to Say Goodbye Taught Me How to Live on Amazon.com.
Discover the world's largest anti-aging organization, Life Extension. For the best information, vitamins, and supplements, you just can't beat Life Extension. To start extending your life, go to the HealthyLife.net advertiser page and click on the Life Extension banner.
MySpiritualCommonSense.com is Joffrey McClung's website, where you can find a plethora of information to help you put some common sense into your spiritual conversations. Not only will you find out more about Joffrey, but you can read her blog and watch her one-minute weekly videos highlighting tips on how to stay conscious and keep growing. You can even get a free affirmations booklet if you join Joffrey's mailing list. So remember to visit MySpiritualCommonSense.com. That's MySpiritualCommonSense.com.
Uplifting talk. HealthyLife.net.
This is HealthyLife.net. I'm Joffrey McClung. We all need to be inspired to go beyond what we have known, to do what we've longed to do but were afraid to do it, to remember that life is to be a great adventure and to not let worries or fears make it simply mundane. My hope is this segment will encourage you, move you, and enthuse you to also become an inspiration for others. This month's inspiration is a phrase. It is a phrase I have used often, and it is a phrase that I think we all need at different times in our lives. This phrase is, "This too shall pass." How many times in the past, when we're facing difficulty, trauma, despair, sickness, or financial woes, and we feel like this will never end, we feel stuck and see no way out, we decide that this is the life I will lead, and there's nothing I can do about it. But if you've lived in this world for a little bit of time, you realize that nothing stays the same, and that all phases, no matter how difficult they are, always end. Here's a short story that highlights this truth. Now, I've shortened it a bit to fit into this segment. I also found it interesting that the author of this short story, her mother said the same thing my mother said to me when I was in middle school. And perhaps your mother did to you as well. So, here we go with the story. I found this note in my safety jacket. Tonight is the first time I've worn it since a date on the paper. I leave notes of hope to my future self. They remind me that there's always light after the darkness. The hope is that I will find them during the dark times and remind myself that to everything there is a season. My mother always conveyed this message, this phrase, "Nothing lasts forever." Throughout my lifetimes, there's a few times where it saved my life. In middle school, I was subject to severe bullying by a group of girls. During this time, my mother constantly reminded me that soon I would be out of middle school, and soon the mean girls would move on. I just had to hang on. All of those things came true. After I had my first baby, I was in complete shock at the total life-changing event. My baby would not sleep through the night for the first 6 months of her life. I shared with my mother that I didn't know how I was going to make it. The lack of sleep and the extreme stress of having a new baby were just too much to bear. She shared over and over that this was a phase, and that while it seemed like it was going to last forever, it would be gone in the blink of an eye. And I had to hold on. That same baby will be 18 years old next month. In the blink of an eye, I went from having a baby who would not sleep through the night to now preparing for her to leave home for college. In my life, as I came through difficult seasons, I could see how each time my mind believed that it would last forever. So this is why I started writing myself the notes to my future self. I had them all in different places, such as in my day planner, in my clothes drawers, my desk drawers, and in my coat pockets. My future notes reminded me that over and over, I had come through the other side of a temporary difficult situation, generally better for it. Now, I like this short story because it reminds us how our minds can work against us, telling us that this will last forever, and there's nothing we can do about it. I have felt that fear. I would say several times, but in truth, many times in my life. Whether I was in my 20s, 30s, or 40s, I always felt during the dark times that I was stuck and nothing would ever change. I even had that feeling a year and a half ago when I was struggling with money and everything seemed to be breaking in my home. But in meditation, I was reminded, number one, that this was part of my homework of learning how to use my power, and number two, that nothing lasts forever, or this too shall pass. My mother also had told me when I was in middle school that all the mean girls would move on eventually, And of course, my mother was correct. They did move on. I remember decades ago being in my studio apartment, having just left my partner, and feeling like this dark night of the soul would never end. And that the only thing I would experience from this point forward was going to be dark and negative. However, it did end, and I did experience great things flowing into my life once again. I think it's part of our negative ego to fret and worry when we're in dark times and to feel like they will never end. Once we believe this negative voice, that this will never end, it takes us into a darker tunnel, a tunnel that some people get trapped in. However, if we simply use this phrase, this too shall pass, it will remind us all that even the dark times end and that good things return to us. I originally was going to do an inspiration on hope, but seeing this phrase come across my desk reminded me how important it is to remember that everything changes in our lives, that nothing stays the same, and that this too shall pass. There are times when reaching for hope can feel impossible. Life just seems too dark, too treacherous, and hope can feel like an empty promise. It's at those times when hope seems a bit too far to grasp that just reminding ourselves that this too shall pass can lift us out of the darkness for a moment. Saying to yourself, this too shall pass, is a way to get around the negative ego that says this is going to last forever and nothing is going to ever come to you again that's good. This too shall pass is a way to love yourself, a way to remind yourself that even in the darkness, it will leave and something new will replace it. That is why this month's inspiration is the phrase, this too shall pass. Because we're all going to experience dark, uncomfortable moments in our lives. We're going to experience times that we feel like nothing good is going to flow into our lives ever again. We're going to feel stuck and out of control. And there are going to be times when we feel like we have no hope. We need to remind ourselves during these uncomfortable moments that this will not last forever. That everything changes, that we will experience good times again, and that this too shall pass. Perhaps write some notes to your future self, reminding yourself that no phase will last forever, and that this too shall pass, and that good things will return. This is Spiritual Common Sense on HealthyLife.net.
If you want a master class on how loss can become your greatest teacher, then get the book, How Learning to Say Goodbye Taught Me How to Live, by Joffrey McClung. Following a period of loss through Joffrey's life, you'll discover how she overcame challenges to find the many gifts that helped her transcend to her authentic self. Get How Learning to Say Goodbye Taught Me How to Live at Amazon.com. Take Joffrey's lessons to help you overcome your grief and loss. How Learning to Say Goodbye Taught Me How to Live on Amazon.com.
If you want USA and worldwide car rentals, choose rentacar.com. Free cancellations on most bookings, no hidden charges. They are trusted by over 4 million customers. Visit our advertiser page and click on the Rent-A-Car banner.
Self-love is one of the most important love relationships you can have. We are all searching for more love in our life, and it really starts with you. Now there's a guide and workbook that gives you life-changing and powerful insights to help you through an enlightening self-discovery process to self-love, and you can get it on Amazon.com. The Heart of the Matter, a workbook and guide to finding your way back to self-love, by Joffrey McClung. Get it today. The Heart of the Matter, a workbook and guide to finding your way back to self-love, on Amazon.com.
If you're not in the U.S., listen up. SureTrader is one of the most trusted and reliable names in share trading. With 6-to-1 leverage and other perks, SureTrade is the best for penny stocks and day trades. To find out more, visit our advertiser page and click on the SureTrader banner.
MySpiritualCommonSense.com is Joffrey McClung's website, where you can find a plethora of information to help you put some common sense into your spiritual conversations. Not only will you find out more about Joffrey, but you can read her blog and watch her one-minute weekly videos highlighting tips on how to stay conscious and keep growing. You can even get a free affirmations booklet if you join Joffrey's mailing list. So remember to visit MySpiritualCommonSense.com. That's MySpiritualCommonSense.com.
You're listening to CHSR Real Radio on the web.
I'm Joffrey McClung, and this is Spiritual Common Sense on HealthyLife.net. This month's spiritual homework is based on an essential, but unfortunately not often used, component of self-love, self-honesty. Honesty is described as integrity. Self-honesty means exactly that, integrity with yourself, about yourself. It is imperative for self-love. For instance, in order to change a negative belief, you first must recognize that you have a negative belief. Only then can you begin to change that belief to a more positive, loving belief that supports you and lifts you up. I cannot tell you how many times I've heard someone say, "Yeah, but this is true. That's why I believe it." I always say the universe is a loving place and always says yes to us, whether it's a positive or negative belief. It always says yes. If you're seeing your negative belief out in the world, it just shows you how powerful you are. Imagine what you would say if a negative belief were a positive belief mirrored out in the world. I think you'd say, "Yes, and more of this, please." Now, another part of self-honesty is owning your impact on others. This one is rarely done, except during the dark night of the soul. Most of us don't want to know our impact on others, unless it's joyful. I know I didn't. But during one of my dark nights of the soul, I had to own my impact and learn to forgive myself so that I could move forward. Now, here's a short story that highlights our negative impact and how it can cause lasting damage. Once there was a small town. A man was living happily with a small family comprising his wife and son. They had a beautiful house with a lush green garden in the front and backyards. As the son was growing up, he noticed that the little boy's behavior was getting changed. His son was developing a very bad temper. He tried to console him, but there was no result. The boy used to get angry very frequently, and often out of anger, he used bad language. His words started hurting others. He scolded kids in school, neighbors, and even his friends due to his anger. His friends and neighbors started avoiding him, and his parents were getting really worried about him. One beautiful morning, he called his son in his bedroom. The father had a plan to improve the behavior of his son. He gave him a bag of nails and a hammer and said that every time the boy lost his temper, he had to hammer a nail into the wooden fence of the backyard. At first, it sounded strange to the young boy, but the boy followed his father's instructions, and on the first day, he hammered 43 nails into the wooden fence in the backyard. The father asked his son to notice how frequently he was getting angry and annoyed on a particular day. Now, this was alarming, and the little boy decided he needed to control his anger. The boy gradually began to notice the anger-generating moments deliberately. He tried to control his temper over the next few weeks. And the number of nails he was hammering into the fence slowly decreased. Finally, the day came when the boy didn't lose his temper at all. He told his father the news, and the father suggested that the boy should now pull out a nail every day he kept his temper under control. The days passed, and the young boy was finally able to tell his father that all the nails were gone. The boy learned the art of getting rid of anger, and he was very happy as he could change his behavior. The father took his son by the hand and led him to the wooden fence in the backyard. The father said, Excellent. You've done very well, my son. But look at the holes in the fence. The fence will never be the same. When you say things in anger, they leave a scar, just like this one. You can put a knife in a man and draw it out. It won't matter how many times you say, I'm sorry, the wound is still there. Control your anger before it controls you. Many times, due to the heat of the moment, we say things to others we regret later on. The words are like bullets that can never come back to the weapon once triggered. Hateful words leave deep scars on the souls who receive them. You may apologize, but the scar, just like the holes in the fence, will always remain there. I love this story. This story highlights how our harsh words and actions can permanently damage to another being. But I believe that when we learn how to own our negative behavior, forgive ourselves through compassion and forgiveness, and offer a sincere, heartfelt apology to the person whom we harmed, the world actually becomes lighter and more full of love. So make this month the month you begin to practice self-honesty, to look at your beliefs and decide whether they are helpful or harmful to you. Look at your actions and your words towards others, and learn to practice compassion and forgiveness for any harm you may have caused. And look at the harsh words that you say to yourself, and forgive yourself for that as well. Self-honesty is not to berate yourself, but to inform yourself so that you can make more loving choices in the future. Self-honesty also enables you to begin to let go of your safety nets, such as control, needing to be right, and people-pleasing. I cannot tell you how many people have told me that they hurt somebody because they deserved it. They hurt me, so I hurt them back. As human beings, we are going to harm other people with our words and actions. But through self-honesty, we can own our impact and make changes inside of ourselves. My sister was one of my best teachers in understanding our negative impact on others. She had the tough job of doing negative things to the family in order to wake us up and to move me back to self-love through the use of self-honesty. I would have never looked at my inner bully if I had not had a bully within the family. And for this, I'm eternally grateful. I cannot tell you how many times I got snappy with somebody, perhaps at the bank or in the checkout line, walked away, turned right back around, and went back and apologized. Maybe my words harmed that person, but the apology was my way of saying I'm sorry for the harm I've caused. In truth, most people accept our apology when it comes from our hearts, and if they do not, that's part of their journey. We're all playing this human game on this planet, and we're going to make mistakes. But only through self-honesty can we grow and become who we were truly meant to be, loving, joyful, hopeful, and I will even add delightful beings, creating our reality on this beautiful planet. Make this month the month you practice self-honesty, and know that through compassion and forgiveness, you can evolve to a higher level of self-love. I'm Joffrey McClung, and this is Spiritual Common Sense on HealthyLife.net.
Self-love is one of the most important love relationships you can have. We are all searching for more love in our life, and it really starts with you. Now there's a guide and workbook that gives you life-changing and powerful insights to help you through an enlightening self-discovery process to self-love, and you can get it on Amazon.com. The Heart of the Matter, a workbook and guide to finding your way back to self-love by Joffrey McClung. Get it today. The Heart of the Matter, a workbook and guide to finding your way back to self-love on Amazon.com.
Roku is like having your own video library with over 300,000 choices, and it's the best way to get Netflix, Amazon, Hulu, and so much more. There's a Roku player for every budget, so go to HealthyLife.net's advertiser page and click on the Roku banner.
If you want a master class on how laws can become your greatest teacher, then get the book How Learning to Say Goodbye Taught Me How to Live by Joffrey McClung. Following a period of loss through Joffrey's life, you'll discover how she overcame challenges to find the many gifts that helped her transcend to her authentic self. Get How Learning to Say Goodbye Taught Me How to Live at Amazon.com. Take Joffrey's lessons to help you overcome your grief and loss. How Learning to Say Goodbye Taught Me How to Live on Amazon.com.
Constant Contact and your small business make a perfect fit for marketing. They give you what you need to succeed. Fast and easy email marketing at your fingertips. Visit the HealthyLife.net advertiser page and click on Constant Contact to start your marketing.
MySpiritualCommonSense.com is Joffrey McClung's website, where you can find a plethora of information to help you put some common sense into your spiritual conversations. Not only will you find out more about Joffrey, but you can read her blog and watch her one-minute weekly videos highlighting tips on how to stay conscious and keep growing. You can even get a free affirmations booklet if you join Joffrey's mailing list. So remember to visit MySpiritualCommonSense.com. That's MySpiritualCommonSense.com.
Eclectic Talk with a positive twist. HealthyLife.net.
Thanks for joining me. I hope you got some inspiration, some information, and some spiritual homework that will move you forward. And please follow me on Facebook or Instagram. Also, check out my website at MySpiritualCommonSense.com. I have great blogs there, and you can read a little bit about my books on my website. I hope I've left you with some things that no longer serve you and picked up some things that celebrate you and who you are becoming. And remember, you are glorious, magnificent, and stunning in the universe's eyes, and have always been and will always be lovable, loving, and loved. Until next time, be the light the world needs and have love for all. This is Joffrey McClung for Spiritual Common Sense on HealthyLife.net. Have a joyful, loving, self-loving month.